Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting in the planet. Enjoy the show.
Hi, this is Jack Armstrong, author of Lessons from the Source, a spiritual guidebook for navigating life's journey. You're listening to Life Conversations Radio.
Life Conversations, the radio show, is dedicated to empowering its listeners spiritually, emotionally, socially, and financially. The radio show provides the platform for the stimulation of thoughts, conversations, and ways of being that allow listeners to explore and examine what it is they believe and decide whether what they believe is keeping them stuck and disempowered or empowering them to live their best life.
Nothing to And at the top, you heard my wonderful friend George Gorillas, Pure Imagination. You can find all of his absolutely splendid music on evvictorzonemusic.com. After that, you had the pleasure of hearing the world-famous Jahlil El-Jafari with a very unique and original rendition of Row Your Boat. Google him. Welcome again, my friend. You're always welcome here on this place, this earth, this space where everything matters and nothing does. Where we get all types of gifts. Where we come with all types of gifts. And we receive gifts from our beloved earth. We get to feel the warm, beautiful energy of our earth, our playground. We get to feel the grass, feel the sunshine go right through us. We get to hear the birds, songs of the birds. We get to feel the delicious, warm breezes kiss our faces. Mwah! That beautiful wind that carries the pollen. So more of life can expand right here with us on this beautiful earth. So there's another way to look at that pollen, you know. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Nature is so giving, so taken for granted and so giving. It speaks a lot, you know. Volumes when they talk about as above, so below and how we vibe and how we are aligning ourselves, you know. There's so much beauty that the earth gives us. A true bounty, you know. It's like it doesn't worry about the balance of giving and receiving. You know. It just gives. It just comes from a place of abundance. Sometimes we forget that we have this balance, this abundance of everything. And we get caught up on this playground of life. You know, with how good we need to be. We have a choice. We have a choice about how we choose to take good care of ourselves, take good care of other people. We get to choose how we're going to use this gift, this ability to empathize. You know, sometimes we find ourselves feeding off people when they feel good. We feed off of them when they feel bad. We can feel them. because we're using this gift of empathy. And sometimes, yeah, it can work against us. But we always want innate things to give. And sometimes it's a wee bit much. We find it to be a little bit over the top, you know, feeling that, you know, sometimes maybe we'll give a little bit more, and then they'll return it. Okay? But it's time now to remember how to be open to the source, open wide to receive. We have massive love and support always from the divine, our source. You know, sometimes at work, at home, we just give, never ask for anything in return. You know, and sometimes it can just leave us out of balance. You know? It's major. It's time. Time to pay attention, you know, to what's being said to us. Because when we get out of balance, we feel fatigued and so many stress. And sometimes we just get stressed because of all this energy we give. If we can learn to refrain, trying to be light for it. You know, because we're already it's not more that we need to do. It's love. That is pretty much it. So when we do give, when we do decide to give, we can give from this divine place
of abundance. From the heart. Not seeking anything in return. Detached from what comes back, not worrying about whether we're going to give to get. So when we have that heightened sense of awareness of cause and effect, that what you get, that what you put out, you get back. That if we put out needy and desperate, that's what we're going to get. When we come from a true, abundant place with strong divine intention in all our actions, we never have to worry about whether or not we will get anything back. Because it's a true knowing. It's so natural for it to come back to us like a true boomerang. I love it. Because nature does that. It takes care of that. We can control how we feel or not. But we sure can't control how others feel. It's not just simply not our business. Source takes care of that. So you can decide whether you want to give without the need for anyone else to do anything. Because when you do, you're open to receive in ways you may not even be able to imagine in this moment. It's okay. It's okay right now to ask for what you want. And it's okay to receive it. Because that's the part that we miss out on. So just take a moment right now. Just right now. Take a moment to just hold in your mind something that you want to receive. And just feel it for a moment. Is it a relationship? It could be something small, like just some small opportunity. Or it could be something huge, like a life dream. Just feel that desire deep inside. Reach down and find it. Find the divine in it. Find it. It's there, right there in the source of everything. Get past all the neediness, the surface needs and wants. Just delve right down into the deepest part of your heart, your soul, your passion. The source wants you to have everything that you desire. Wants you to be joyful, wants you to be happy. It's all right here, right there, right everywhere in the open source. And the only reason you could possibly not have it is because you're not allowing it. So decide. Make that decision right now, in this moment, to receive the full balance, the mass measure. Yeah, look at the barriers. Then look at the gold. It's all here on the playground of life. You know, freedom. Freedom of your creative power. So I'm just saying. I'm just saying. Stay in this action of getting what you want. Practice it. You know, there's many roads that you can take. Some long, some short, some steep. Some the low valley, some easy roads. What you want is to get in life is usually on the other side of something you don't want to face. All of us, I say we. I'm French. Deep down, we know this. You know, it's time to face it because it's all in the open source. The answer is always there. So ready, set, go. Let's go deep inside. And we will know. It's time to act encouraged and be encouraged to have, to hold our passion, our desire. Source is always ready to resource you. Always ready to resource you. All we are, all we need is source. So guess what we're talking about today, y'all? We're talking about the open source. What's she on about? And talking. And listen, we're talking about it, but I'm talking about somebody who is walking in it. Walking in courage with source. We have the pleasure, the plum pleasing pleasure, to have my friend, my comrade, my playmate,
thank you,
Russell Washington, on the playground, a teacher, a healer, a scientist, and so much more. I'm gonna tell you why I call him the maestro. The reason I call him the maestro is because I have always, since I met him years and years ago, seen him masterfully conduct energy with all of everything he does. I mean, in the kitchen. I mean, you want to be there. You want to be there in the kitchen when he is cooking, and I don't even want to call it cooking because it's not cooking, I'm telling you. I'm just like, he knows. I'll be like, I'll be making all kind of crazy noises. You would think that, well, we ain't going to go there. But I'm just saying, his healing practices, same thing. Everything, when he's giving you something, he's giving it to you good. That source. That's resourcing. And this is what he practices with himself and others. But I'm going to wait. So let me just bring him so you can see him. Can you see him now? Hey, Russell.
Hey.
What's so, up?
I was going to say the show. You did the whole show in the intro. I mean, I'm good.
Yo, whatever. never could I do that. No, I have to have Russell. Okay, so Russell, I know
well,
what I said.
Now
you
I'm
know
blushing.
What you know. I got to put that mic on you and say, who is Russell Washington?
Well, I am, first of all, very, very grateful and honored to be here in the playground and just to have this opportunity to share with your extremely wide audience, your intelligent audience, your deeply engaged audience is a complete honor. And I think some of the people from my camp have joined. Our camps are joining together. So I'm anxious to hear what people have to say. But thank you for that very, very generous introduction. I've been doing this work for going on 3 decades now, right? And the work is really to assist life systems, people, living systems, to thrive in abundance. That's really the bottom line of what I love to do. That's my passion in life.
Okay. Okay, now, I'm like, really? That's it? Okay, well, then I have another question.
Okay.
All right. So let's talk about your journey. Your journey with discovering source energy and the power of it and being such a powerful conductor. Where did that start?
The actual truth is it started with me as a 5-year-old deciding that I wanted to live a life of curiosity and adventure, standing in front of Jacques Cousteau on the TV on Calumet Avenue in Chicago, Illinois.
Wow.
Then the next evolution was when I was a teenager out in the woods. And as you know, I've told you, I would leave before dawn the house, go way up in the woods. And one day I was watching the animals, and I just happened to spend a few hours watching a female box turtle lay her eggs. And I asked life, I said, if you show me how you do that, I promise you I will work for you for my whole life. That's really where it began. The project, the Ascension Agenda Project, which is a 9-generation project to help direct humanity to work in a more harmonious relationship with itself and with our life support system. That was a matrix download. I don't know if the matrix is getting old, so there might be people in the audience who don't remember how they would just get that instant amount of information. That was an inspirational moment around 1980, and ever since then I've been on a trajectory to bring that project through little bitty, small and large demonstrations and tests to work it out to fruition since then. I've studied interdisciplinary science, biology, chemistry, and physics. I worked for 10 years as environmental microbiology technician. You know, I've done many apprenticeships with some of the baddest healers on the planet and have been working with hundreds of individuals in small groups to help them with their health, with farmers to help them learn how to grow healthy foods, with municipalities to help them develop policies for harmonious policies that help, you know, I designed Atlanta, Georgia's first recycling program. And the recent innovation in Atlanta to begin to include organic matter from businesses and divert that organic matter from large-scale businesses into compost, that was in the plan way back in 87, but they weren't ready for it then. They adopted it recently. So that kind of stuff has been happening regularly since then. That's how I got started, and that's been the progression in a nutshell. It's like a coconut shell, but still.
Well, so the Ascension Project, is that what it's called, the Ascension Project?
Uh-huh, the Ascension Agenda Project is...
Go ahead.
Well, really, it's my life's work. It's the what they would call the keynote project in my life's work, to set up or to participate in really what's happening already all around the world. The interesting thing about this idea of we can get and we should and this is the time to accept the opportunity to work and live in harmony with our own life support system. That's you know, I can't claim that as my original idea. That would be ridiculous. So I'm a participant in that that concept, which is flooding minds all around the world, and people are taking it on in a whole wide in every department of human endeavor. In every department of human endeavor, people are taking that on. And small scales in their own individual experience, their families, their communities, on the city, country, international levels, people are looking at what will it take for us to be a generative, harmonious part of the life support system of the biosphere, as opposed to a degenerative, dissipative force in the life support system. So,
yes. So can you break that down a little bit in terms of life? Let's just go with the fact that some people might not know what you mean by life support system. They might think something's plugged up to your face and, you know, like you're in a hospital.
Okay.
Yeah, let's break it down.
Well, life scientists call all of the forces that merge together on this planet in this narrow band between the beginning of outer space and for a little bit under the Earth, they call that the biosphere, that ring which surrounds the planet in which life as we know it can live and thrive. That's the biosphere.
Mm-hmm.
And we're an integral part of that. What we've learned as we reached the 7 billion participant mark is that we have to make a selection, and that selection is, are we going to participate within our own life support system in a way that supports us and everything else in it, or are we going to participate in our own life support system, that total biosphere, in a way that degrades it and makes it difficult not only for us but for everything else that's alive in it to survive. And this is a very I think it's a very, very exciting time to be alive because we're at a crossroads. And I find crossroads like this, whether we're talking about in an individual's personal life or whether in our collective lives, to be magical, you know, the time when amazing things can happen. Because when we consider all of the things that frighten people about, oh, the world's coming to an end and the apocalypse and all that kind of stuff. My view of that is that these are the types of things which, if we allow ourselves to become calm, will focus our attention. And as we open up to that calmness, we become inspired and we begin to invent, innovate, and discover ways to be with ourselves and be with our life support system in a way that's completely different from how we used to be, completely unrecognizable from how we used to be, completely different from what the cynics would say is possible.
Mm-hmm. And I am so into waking the whole energy up, and I really appreciate what you're bringing. And I want to ask, just to delve a little bit more into that, because, again, you know, you are holding all of this, and as I said, you conduct it very well. I want to know, in terms of life support, in terms of each person, you're talking about them coming and bringing maybe their innovative way, but what are some of the ways that you, Russell, right now are bringing together?
Okay. What's important to me and what's important to my purpose is, one, awakening within myself and reminding or alerting people to the fact that we as human beings have barely begun to scratch the surface of what we're capable of on the side of creativity, connectedness, and communion with ourselves and life itself, our ability to be clear emotionally, and have pure intentions. So, what does that look like? My work, when I say helping people thrive people have come to me over the years with all kinds of personal challenges and collective challenges. Everything from, hey, I'm facing a degenerative disease, somebody with a white coat came to me and said, I'm going to die. Or my farm is got this infection of infestation of this or that or the other. How can we bring it back to life? So let's take for a simple example, and it's going to sound like a hypothetical, but I'm actually recalling a series of actual events. Someone shows up with a diagnosis of terminal disease. At that moment, when they show up, the probability that they will have a long and thriving life is relatively low.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So my job is to help them find a way, find that, what we were talking about, the innate capacity to thrive earlier in the introduction. Mm-hmm. Our job together will be to help them find a way to take what is extraordinarily improbable and manipulate the forces of their own life until it becomes progressively more likely, more likely, more likely until it occurs or until it has a greater chance of occurring.
Mm-hmm.
So that involves, in the beginning, it involved maybe doing a lot more teaching about food and things like that, but nowadays, it focuses almost entirely on who are you being in the moment. And we're bringing a conversation out that is a next-level conversation about who we are as human beings. 150 years ago, the cutting-edge conversation was about the mind. It was brand new. Most people had never heard of anything about the mind, especially in the West. But even in the East, the idea of masses of people having awareness of how their mind works and the relationship between the mind and the body in action, that 150 years ago, that was the concern of monks and things of that nature. Okay, so about 150 years ago, the whole human family began to transform its understanding of itself. Until today, that's all we talk about. You can't really be a top performer in any field unless you know how to manage your own mind, because we know mind directs body as body directs action and circumstance. So we're bringing a conversation we call presence. Presence is the I am experience, the beingness experience. And, of course, it evolves from a very well-known field of philosophy called ontology, the study of being, okay? I'm sharing with people a system for applied, practical, ontogenic work, using the qualities and energies of presence so that mind does what it does, which is spontaneously self-organize. Presence is to mind is to body, as body is to action and circumstance. Is that clear?
Well, it will be, because we're going to revisit that when we come back from the break, and we have a caller on the line that wants to
All
ask
right.
a question about that as well. So we'll be right back with Russell Washington. If you have a question, just call 347-346-3346. We'll be right back.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Hello, this is motivational speaker Les Brown, and you're listening to Life Conversations. It's going to change your life.
Life Conversations, the radio show, is dedicated to empowering its listeners spiritually, emotionally, socially, and financially. The radio show provides the platform for the stimulation of thoughts, conversations, and ways of being that allow listeners to explore and examine what it is they believe and decide whether what they believe is keeping them stuck and disempowered or empowering them to live their best life.
Are you about work, 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 and no play? Adults have a tendency to stay busy and neglect their own health and well-being, while successful people take regular breaks, vacations, and timeouts to play, rest, rejuvenate, and tap into their creative selves. Play and Heal is a unique opportunity for you to host a life-changing event in your very own living room. An event that is especially designed by you to facilitate the releasing of stress, balancing the mind, body, and spirit, not only for yourself, but of your friends and family too. Whether you create a soiree, a ladies' night, or couples event, these events are infused with the best of care, informative health information, and tools for stress maintenance that will shift how you see yourself and empower you to begin to work in cooperation with your best life. This event is sure to put a smile on your heart and send your spirit soaring. To book your Play and Heal event today, go to playandheal.org. Or you can email us at info@playandheal.org.
What would happen if you didn't follow the established path? Would you feel scared or proud? Could you explain that helping the people of Peru improve their own community would also have an effect on your own? Would you rather make your own way or spend a lifetime saying, what if? Life is calling. How far will you go? Peace Corps. To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580 or go to peacecorps.gov.
Life Conversations, committed to assisting you move from where you are to where you want to be. Have courage, make that move.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Welcome back. We want to thank all of the listeners that are listening online, the ones that are listening in the archives, and the ones who are listening on the phone. We have quite a few calls on the phone, and we're going to be taking one of them in a moment. Welcome back, Russell. Are you there?
Thank you.
Yes, indeed.
Thank you.
Yes. So, I would like to start right where you left off and said, did you get that? Because I need you to expand on that just a bit more because it's so yummy.
Uh-huh. Well, I was given a little bit of the history of how our self-understanding has evolved as a human family, but of course there's always been little pockets of the human family that have understood and worked with and developed what I'm talking about as part of their regular lifestyle for centuries. And most of the Aboriginal cultures of the world work from presence, and they understand that presence is enough, and the work is in the stillness. So we're really incorporating some of the secret gems, the open secret gems that have been used to create amazing results in the global culture, and bringing them to a point where they're really, really accessible to everybody who's willing to take that journey. All right? Let me give you an example of a cultural phenomena that is secretly presence at work, okay? I mean secretly because it's just not commonly known. One of the richest industries in the world is the pharmaceutical industry. Mm-hmm. And before the invention of artificial intelligence, where drugs are designed based on algorithms. Those algorithms were originally modeled after chemicals found in plants and animals and things all around the world. The people who went out into the world at large from the pharmaceutical industry to discover what that was, we call them ethnobotanists, or you know, people who study plants and the relationship between people and plants. The original party line was that, hey, these botanists are trained scientists. They went out, did the scientific method of experimentation and, you know, trial and error, and they discovered all of these medicinal plants pretty much on their own, maybe using Aboriginal guide to grunt and point. Came to a point in the evolution of their understanding where some of those ethnobotanists said, you know, we're just not going to lie about this anymore. Let me tell you what really happened. When we got down there into the jungles of South America, of Africa, up into the Arctic Circle, there were people there who were experts far beyond our understanding in the plant, the nature of the plants that were there, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And when we asked them how they know what they know, They said, the plants told us.
Mm-hmm.
Now, originally, we just blew it off. So over time, we learned that they actually had a way of getting into communion with life so deeply that they were able to get actionable information that was measurable and verifiable all the way up into our pharmaceutical laboratories, to the point where that information was so valuable that it allowed our industry to become the first or second most lucrative industry in the whole wide world.
Hmm.
Okay. Imagine what our lives would be like if the original ethnobotanists said, hey, these people are doing something on a regular basis in a repeatable, measurable way. They're teaching each other in a repeatable way that we didn't even think was possible. That we say to ourselves, that's impossible. The way we live today would be very different because that information was made available many, many, many decades ago. Okay. Mm-hmm. What we know is that the people that collectively we call them shamans, that's really a word from the language of the reindeer people of the Arctic Circle, but we use it generally to mean all of the healers and things like that from around the world. They have developed ways of deeply connecting with life that they have to go beyond what we think of as mind stuff to do. Okay? What if that kind of access were repeatable, teachable, learnable by the general public? That was the question I asked myself. So that if someone showed up with a metabolic challenge, they could listen to themselves on a cellular level and answer the questions that their cells would ask, were asking, or follow the demands that their body was giving, such that they could create a correction without necessarily having to resort to some of the things that we resort to today, or by learning exactly which ones of the resources that are available are right for them.
Yes, and listening. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. And it's just about that. It's about being tapped in, tuned in, and turned on with that. And listening to the self like that. Imagine, yes, indeed. So we're going to take a call in a minute, but I want to just finish with this point. So when you asked that question, what was the answer?
The answer was, here it is. There is a level of being. There is a level of your own existence, which actually is the infrastructure for how mind wants to work. If most people have seen homes or houses or skyscrapers in the process of being built, there's a skeleton that goes up. There's beams and stuff like that. Eventually, the stuff they make walls out of covers those beams. And people who walk inside the house or the building, they don't really see that inner structure. Okay, that's what presence is for mind. It allows mind to hold itself in place. Now, anybody that's done martial arts to a certain level or been in the arts knows that there's a place you can go to that we experience as kind of a flow where the thoughts that we think of as our thoughts go quieter and quieter and quieter.
Mm-hmm.
And we have access to our deep instinct or our high intuition, and intellect weaves them together in a way that is sometimes surprising to us. Okay, that's what we call mind self-organizing in response to presence. Presence is really what I think of it as is that domain which really butts up against source. So when you talk about source awareness, the one of the first connection points that we as human beings have actionable access to is presence. Martial artists will say, be in no mind. Artists will say, allow yourself. Meditators will train themselves to allow the mind to go quiet. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And what, up until now, not a lot has been said about that domain, because maybe there wasn't much that could be said.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot has been unveiled, a lot has been revealed about
yes.
what that domain is between mind and source, the ultimate source, about which the mystics and Gnostics and ancients and great masters say, sometimes they call source that about which nothing can be said.
Mm-hmm.
So the conversation we're talking about is just outside of that domain.
Yes,
But
yes,
it's important.
Yes. It's pretty powerful.
Yeah, I will say it's important if it's not important if you're not attempting to do anything.
That's right.
So
it has no importance if you're not going to do nothing. As a matter of fact,
same thing goes with mind. Same thing goes with body. If a person is really just committed to sitting on the couch,
mm-hmm.
they don't need to know how their body works so much, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Or if a person is not engaged in learning
right.
actively throughout their lives, it's not important for them to optimize the mind's ability to self-organize and spontaneously absorb information. Same thing goes with presence.
Right.
Presence is really, the presence conversation is useful for people who are attempting to accomplish something which, by conventional understanding, is beyond
mm.
means.
Right. Well, speaking of that, let's bring on the caller. Let's bring
okay.
on her question that she has and see if it has to do with this.
Okay.
Welcome, caller. Is this Mary Anna from Illinois?
Hello.
Yes,
hello.
Hi. How are you? Welcome to the Play Experience. You have a question for or a comment for Russell?
Well, this is my first time on the show. I've heard a lot of good things about the show. That's why I'm calling in.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you for having my call, by the way. Well, I don't necessarily have a question. I'm going through relationship issues, so if there's any advice or guidance I can get, I would appreciate that.
Okay. Well, I guess, Russell, using presence, how would you answer that?
That's a marvelous open-ended question, so I'm just going to say some things in general. When you say relationship issues, I'm going to take it that you mean upsetting relationship issues. Is that correct?
I have moved out of the house. Moved out of the house.
Okay, well, don't tell me any details per se, but
I'm sorry.
Feel for me that when you convey that, this is something that is not feeling cool to you. It's out of harmony for you. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. Without having to really mess with the details, one of the things you might want to consider doing, or I'm going to ask you to consider doing, is looking at your situation with love and acceptance. Okay, now what I mean by acceptance is very specific. In our work, when we say acceptance, we mean attain a state where you have no aversions to what's happening and no attachments to what's happening. Okay? So something about that situation is giving you some passivity. There's something about that situation which feels out of harmony for you. And when you feel that, when you have that experience, it's going to have a resonance. It's going to have a feeling in your physical body. Okay? And you can distill those feelings into maybe one of three phenomena: a desperate urge to be in control, right, or not lose control, a desperate urge to be accepted or not lose acceptance, or some aspect of struggling for safety, security, and survival. That's three categories: safety, security, and survival, acceptance or avoiding loss of acceptance, desperately to gain control or not lose control. Now, what I'm going to assert to you is control, acceptance, and safety, security, and survival are your birthright. The pulling, grabbing, reaching, gripping for it is the spinning which is generating suffering. All right? When we say acceptance, we mean look to see where that is occurring and allow yourself to release the fight for it, the struggle for it, the pulling for it, the desperation for it, even if it's a tiny amount, and see what happens. See if you don't even actually get control. See if you don't actually gain acceptance. see if your safety and security survival issues dissipate. People, circumstances, and situations will show up in your relationship situation when you begin to do that, which will support you in that whatever your aspiration is for that. If that aspiration is in harmony with your individual high purpose, with your highest aspiration, you see what I'm saying? Does that make any sense to you?
Yes.
Okay.
Hmm.
Wow.
Did you have another part of that question, Mariana?
No. So just to make sure that I understood, I can't repeat anything that he said.
Well, let me just ask this. If she applies what you said, what will she see? What's possible for her?
Those three categories are the surfacing of a profound inner sense of powerlessness. That's how powerlessness shows up. That's how a sense of impotence shows up in our lives. And if anybody asks me, what's the root of most of the stuff that's causing the fuckery and pissivity and jacked upness and disharmony and degeneration in our lives, I would say it's the conviction about our powerlessness. But just grabbing for power doesn't work either. But
which
what
consists
we see
of
is
those
that,
three things, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So when we get out of our own way by releasing the fight for control, the desperation for acceptance, the pulling for survival security, they show up more and more. And it takes practice, yeah? Okay, so what will occur is that, more than likely, you will begin to see more harmony in whatever the relationship situation is. Now, it may not look like what you're predicting. If you're predicting anything, you may be attached to how you want it to look. Okay? I don't know. It doesn't really matter that much. Because what will occur is that when you notice, I really want it to come out that way, you will feel that pull, grab, reach, sense of urgency about it, yes? So what will occur is that the situation will begin to harmonize and you will feel lighter and you'll begin to pull all of your joy from within as opposed to looking for it to be validated in your circumstances. Your intention will begin to lead and the circumstances will begin to line up behind you. That's what is the likely outcome.
Hmm. So, Mariana,
wow.
Mariana,
yes.
So if you release the fight, what do you feel is possible?
I have to say something. I have moved out numerous times. This time that I moved out was unexpected, but I have let go of any expectation. I don't care what he does. I'm moving on. But the new thing is that this time I'm getting a lot of support and doors are opening and things are happening and that I didn't even know were available to me before.
Mm-hmm.
So I sent you a message and I said, hey, I care about you. I'm here. That's all. Let it go. I didn't expect an answer. And he didn't respond. But I'm not mad at him or upset with him. I care about him, but I need to take care of Mariana now. And you're right. Things are opening up by themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, I did feel powerless, and I did feel unaccepted and not validated, but I'm learning that I need to give all that to myself.
Mm-hmm.
Am I right?
Sounds very right, because what we're modeling right now is really your natural birthright. One of the things that before we had this conversation, you were already beginning to gravitate to the kind of direction that we were pointing at in this particular conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And beginning to you notice the diminishing results from doing it the old way,
mm-hmm.
of trying to force people to do things the way you want them to do and on like that. And you're already getting results from that releasing, relieving yourself of the pressures of that strain, of that suffering. Okay.
Yeah.
So
yes,
what I'm going to say is just allow yourself to open it up, dig into it even more, and it tends to be an effortless, seemingly effortless process after a while. The if there's effort in it, it's usually in the unlearning, the transition from thinking that you have to know everything in advance, fix everything in advance. So what I'm talking about isn't not doing anything, you know, but it's just releasing that fight for it, like we were talking about before, and you'll be inspired as to where to go, what to do, who to see, who to listen to, that kind of thing. Just
wow.
Like you haven't been so far.
Yeah. Yeah, I got to say that Ade and Celeste have been an amazing support to me, and now you. So thank you very much. I'm really grateful you took my call, and I'll be a regular on the show now.
Well, wonderful. We welcome you on the playground. We always have fun here. But I want you to do this. I want you to listen to the archives, listen to the show again. Will you do that? Because
yes,
Russell has laid out some steps that I think if you listen to them again, it will help to reinforce that feeling of where you are. Is that good?
Deal.
All right. Beloved, take good care.
Thank you.
Thank you for calling.
Okay. Thank you. Bye-bye.
All righty. All right. So, Russell, we have a few minutes left, and I want you to use that to go out with where people can find you, what we're going to talk about next time, because, you know, we always run out of time. We have so much fun.
We
so
do.
I'm going to give you the mic.
I tell you what, I'm going to pull a fast one on you. I'm going to ask the people who are on the line to check in with us again next week. And, yeah, I am. See, that's cold.
Well, you can do that. This is the playground. Hey, what?
And I'm going to have a marvelous surprise for the audience next week. Maybe we'll be able to get to more callers. We're going to dig into this idea of how to operate in presence. The beautiful lady that called helped unlock some of that.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to really get into the details of that next week. We're going to talk about the five facets of presence, what it's made of, and how to get practical results with increasing regularity, with increasing certainty over time. How does that sound?
That sounds excellent, and I really am loving and appreciating you. This is absolutely powerful. I can't wait for next week. So, but I know I have to. With praise,
and
presence, and patience.
You can't actually show up. You'll be able to check it out in the archives.
Yes, indeed. So it is a promise. We're going out with promise with George Carillis. Russell, I will see you next week with bells on. I love you.
It was my pleasure.
Thank you.
All love to you, too.
All righty. Much love. All right. You've heard it. This is just the most beautiful time to be alive. And I tell you, I promise, and George Carillis promises, from the Passion album, that we'll be back next week with bells on. I love you, I bless you, and I thank the Most High for you. Mombasa out.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting on the planet. Enjoy the show.